Good afternoon and happy Sabbath to everyone. Oh, thank you. Greetings to any visitors we may have with us here today. And also, again, greetings to those who are on the webcast. We hope you're having a wonderful Sabbath day as well. I have a question for all of us today to consider. It's an important question and something that we should think about more than from time to time. The question is, are you saved? Are you saved? As I mentioned, this is an important question, and it's a good question for us to consider. It's not just an academic question, although knowing the right answer is important, but it's more than that. It has to do with our relationship with God our Father and with Jesus Christ. So it is important to get the right answer. I'd like each of you to take a moment and just think about an answer in your mind. You know, for everybody to do that. And hopefully that's long enough, we will see. To answer the question, so you get to grade yourself now, to answer the question, are you saved? If you said yes, you are correct. Now, some may be surprised at that answer, but I'm not really saying anything new. Others may be able to think of a scripture or two or more that support that particular answer. If you said no to the question, are you saved? You're also correct. And again, others may be able to think of a scripture that supports that particular answer. If you answered, depends, that's really the best answer. That's the most correct answer of the three. Now, this is not double talk. The question, the way I stated it, is not complete. It's incomplete. It's, are you saved? But then there's a time factor involved. Timing is an issue to answer that question. The answer depends on when, the time period that we're talking about. In our Christian lives, there's a past, present, and future of salvation. Today we're going to take a quick look at that subject, salvation, past, present, and future. As I mentioned, timing plays a big part in the answer to that question. The title of my sermonette today is Salvation, Past, Present, and Future. Let's take a look first at salvation past. Turn to 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and I'll start reading in verse 8. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and I'll start reading in verse 8. And this is salvation past. These are words from the Apostle Paul to the evangelist Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 8, he says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us. So there it is. Who has saved us? We are saved. It says so right here. Who has saved us? And just to make sure that we have our definitions correctly, the word saved comes from Strong's 4982. It's transliterated as sozo, spelled S-O-Z-O. And it means to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, to save in the biblical technical biblical sense, which is what I'm talking about, salvation. To deliver from the penalties of messianic judgment or eternal condemnation. To be saved. As I mentioned, at that point, many people will stop reading in their Bible and say, see right there? It says, I'm saved. And they'll close their Bible at that point and say, I'm done. I've got salvation. There are other scriptures that say things similarly, like in Ephesians, you know, saved by grace through faith. It says, you know, we have been saved by grace through faith. That's past tense. But remember, I said timing is an important issue in this question. Turn back to Romans, the third chapter, and we'll see something more complete about our salvation in the past. Romans 3, and I'll start reading in verse 24. These are more instructions from the Apostle Paul, more of his writings. Romans 3, beginning in verse 24, where it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. And there's the time sequence. God has passed over, forgiven, saved us from sins that were previously committed. Those in the past, those that we've repented of, those we've asked forgiveness for, they are washed away. They are clean. We are saved from our past sins. But it doesn't say anything about future sins. It doesn't, you know, say, well, now go on your way and do anything you want in the future. We are saved from our past sins. So are we saved? Yes, from sins that are in the past. Now, just to stay on this point a little bit longer, some religions teach that at baptism or at an altar call or accepting the Lord, that they are saved. And once they are saved, there is absolutely nothing you can do to get unsaved. You are in a saved condition. We know that as once saved, always saved. There's a more formal, let's say, title for that doctrine. It's called eternal security. Once saved, always saved. I have a quotation from a letter written by Martin Luther. This letter was written on August 1st, 1521. It was written from Martin Luther to Melanchthon, and it was translated as part of the Wittenberg Project. And just looking at a couple sentences in the letter, Luther is saying, and I'm quoting, "Be a sinner, and let your sins be strong, but let your trust in Christ be stronger. And rejoice in Christ, who is the victor over sin, death, and the world." Skipping ahead a few sentences, he says, "No sin can separate us from him, even if we were to kill or commit adultery thousands of times each day." That's really quite an incredible statement. You know, no matter what you do, you know, you've got it made. They've got it made. But of course, brethren, again, we know it does not work that way. We are saved from sins in the past. There is no license for future sins. You know, I think of the secret agent or double agent, not double agent, secret agent, James Bond, you know, 007. He supposedly had a license to kill. According to the books, he did. Christians do not have a license to sin. We just don't. We are forgiven for sins in the past, not in the future. And I'm not going to turn there, but just to answer this question a little bit more, Romans 6, verses 1 and 2. And I'll paraphrase where Paul, he gives a rhetorical question. He says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound?" You know, more sin, more grace. You know, this is great. And in verse 2, he answers the question and says, "Certainly not." You know, that doesn't make any sense at all. No, there is no license for future sin. Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and we'll also see something from the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians, and I'm in Romans right now. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And I'll start quoting around verse 24, although I won't start reading just yet. Here the Apostle Paul is saying that we are in a race and that we need to run this race to win. We need to go all out. And then dropping down in verse 26, he says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight." So this isn't something casual. This isn't something laid back. This is something that the Apostle Paul puts a lot of effort in. He says, "I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul knew that it was possible for him to not be in the kingdom of God, and he worked hard to avoid that consequence. He worked hard to make sure that he would be. It is possible to fall away. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, it said, if someone does fall away, it's impossible to renew them to repentance. So it is possible to fall away. It's also possible to commit the unpardonable sin. Just because we start out on the right track, you know, on the road to eternal life, doesn't mean that we stay on that track. It takes effort. It's not something that automatically happens or that we don't have to worry about. The Apostle Peter says, "Be diligent to make your calling and election sure." God has saved us, past tense, from the death penalty, from eternal death. Now we're on the road to eternal life, but the journey does not end at baptism. It continues on with frequent repentance as we go through our life. This brings me to my second point, and that's salvation present. Salvation present. Turn back a few pages to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and I'll read verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1, and in verse 18 it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Again, those who are being saved. This is present tense. This is active. This is progressive. This is as we go through our life, we are in the process of being saved. And again, this word for saved, it's the same word transliterated as sozo. Sozo. Same word. Now that we are on the road to eternal life, we need to stay on that road, as I've mentioned. Christ said that narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. He did not say, you know, continue, go ahead sinning, you know, the way you were before you were called. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you know, well, just kick back, put your feet up and coast. You know, everything's going to be just fine. Do whatever you want. No, he said that narrow is the gate. Difficult is the way that leads to life. We need to be growing in grace and knowledge, as the Apostle Peter said. And we need to be doing that on a daily basis. Walking with God and walking with Jesus Christ, again, growing in grace and knowledge daily. So we are in the process now of being saved, and we look forward to the future. Turn back to Matthew, the 24th chapter. Matthew, the 24th chapter, the Olivet Prophecy. And we'll see some words from Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, and I will start reading in verse 12, talking about salvation in the future. Matthew 24, verse 12, it says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. In order for love to grow cold, it must have been warm to begin with. Many, it says, are going to lose their love. It is possible. He said it will happen. In verse 13, it says, but he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. This is future tense, salvation in the future. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. In Romans, the fifth chapter, it says we are not saved by Christ's death. We're saved by his life. Again, by walking with God daily, by serving him, becoming more like God the Father and like Jesus Christ. And it talks about the end result, salvation in the future, if we endure. So, brethren, in summary, there is a past, present, and future of salvation. There is a time element when we talk about salvation. Salvation in the past, and again, forgiveness of sins that we've committed previously, that we've repented of, that God has forgiven, and he's forgotten about them. They're gone, no more. There's salvation present, of walking with God every day, of the process of becoming more like God and like Jesus Christ. Again, growing and overcoming and repenting. And then, brethren, there's salvation in the future, saved from death, from eternal death, and rather given eternal life in the family of God forever.